It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And before I go too much further, I want to wish all the dads out there a happy Father's Day. You're listening to this either on Saturday, June 15th, or Father's Day itself on Sunday, June 16th. And if you are listening to this on Saturday, June 15th, I am in the process of running up the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, the Auto Road. So Father's Day weekend is when we have the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, and it's something that we have sponsored for almost 20 years when the prior sponsor pulled out at the last hour. One of my running friends called and said, gee, do you think Northeast Delta Dental would want to sponsor the Mount Washington Road Race? And I wasn't into running then and didn't really understand the running community, but I said, sure, we'll give it a shot. And I've been back ever since, run it myself about 10 times, every time slower than the time before. With me this weekend is Dr. Andy McKibben, one of our great dental consultants that work inside Northeast Delta Dental. Just to give everybody a background, Northeast Delta Dental, you know, is an insurance company, but we are a special insurance company in that we focus on oral health, spreading affordable oral health coverage through traditional group programs as well as individual products on the public exchange, healthcare.gov, and the private exchange that we created, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. We do a little bit with vision as well, but our focus is oral health. And one of the ways what we try to do is balance the triangle. The purchasers are the employers who pay the dental benefits bills. The individuals who go to the dentist are one leg of the triangle, and the third leg of the triangle is the dentist community. And we, on the New Hampshire Delta Board, seven of our board members are dentists. So we certainly have a lot of professional experience on our board, but also in-house, led by Dental Director Donald Cox. We have a plethora of dental consultants that review claims. So, Andy, why don't you describe, first of all, describe your background, and then without getting obviously too specific, describe kind of what your role is at Northeast Delta Dental.
I'm a retired general practitioner, but in my practice, I was particularly interested in restorative dentistry, or fillings, crowns, and particularly gold work. I found that that was just something that intrigued me and held my interest. I was fortunate enough to be a trustee of the New Hampshire Dental Society, and then later on, I was asked to be on the New Hampshire Board of Dental Examiners, and I'm now completing my 10th year. And July is going to be my last meeting there.
So. Congratulations on a decade of excellence. And I know I saw Dr. Dennis Hannon recently, and I know he's joined your board. And I know you have, sounds like you have a lot of busy activities.
Over the years, it's gotten more and more busy. And just with the advent of more dentists coming into the state and new techniques trying to keep up with modern technology. It's also kind of a challenge for the older dentists who are on the board. I like that it does keep us inspired to keep up with what's going on.
And you throw in things like, you know, teledentistry and then Smile Direct. If we have time, I'll ask you to opine on at least
those are all good topics because that's where we're going. That's the future.
Exactly. Now, I mentioned the Mount Washington Road Race, and I want to give a shout out to my running friends who participated in two races last weekend, both at the campus at Northeast Delta Dental, the Over the River and Through the Woods race, which is part of the Capitol Hill race series, and then the Dogs on the Pavement. Which raises money. That was on Sunday, and that raises money for the Annual Rescue League, and we got a lot of people running around our campus. So I know in your neck of the woods, the Upper Valley, Andy, you have a race that's always been near and dear to my heart. So tell us about the Shaker 7, the date, et cetera.
Shaker 7 is one of the it's part of the Upper Valley Running Series. It's going to be held this year on Sunday, June 23rd. Registration starts at 7:30. This is a fundraiser for the Enfield Village Association. We very much appreciate Northeast Delta Dental sponsoring that for us. It's a fun race. It's not that competitive. It's mostly based on fun, but you run around Mascoma Lake. And if we're lucky enough to have a day like today, it would be excellent.
Absolutely. And yes, while it isn't quote unquote, you know, competitive, there are some competitive runners like Mike Smith. And it's been one of my, when I started to get into running, what I used to do was just kind of look for different races on coolrunning.com. And this is one that when I was running faster, I particularly liked. And for a couple of years, it was a slightly different course because the bridge was out and everything like that. But now we're back in order, and it's a great race. So that's on Sunday, June 23rd. All right, so back to the topic at hand. Has the use of gold in dentistry become a thing of the past?
The short answer to that is no. The gold historically has been used for gold foils, gold inlays, gold onlays, and gold crowns. And as we've progressed, the use of gold foils and gold inlays has declined. But in today's day and age, gold onlays and gold crowns are still very viable. They're good restorations, and they last a long time. The use of gold has declined for a number of reasons. I think number one is cosmetics, that in today's day and age, we have new porcelain materials and porcelain materials that can be milled, which are certainly more attractive. And there's a demand in the marketplace for cosmetic restorations. But part of the problem with gold is that it's technique sensitive. It's difficult to do. In the schools there, as the dentist population has aged, the techniques and the ability to prepare the teeth and to place and fabricate the gold into the patient's mouth has, the art of it has become lost a little bit. There's fewer technicians who know how to cast the gold, and it just takes a little bit more time. In today's day and age, most patients want to get in the chair, they want the work done, and they want it inserted. So the other competitive area there is that we have now the CAD/CAM systems where the dentist can take a virtual impression and they can scan the tooth, and then they right chair side or in another room, the porcelain crown can be milled and then inserted on the same date. Whereas with gold, an impression has to be taken, and then a laboratory technician will have to make the restoration and insert it on another day.
So that trend, so you're saying because of cosmetics, also people want that instant gratification, so the timing, and then you're saying from a teaching perspective, aren't as many dinosaurs at the dental schools that can teach the technique, correct?
Correct.
And then, of course, probably, I know when I started in the business back in the 80s, anytime there was a increase in the price of gold, our dentist would call and say, we've got to, increase the reimbursement for, a gold crown or filling. So, but despite that, I'm guessing that there are still times when gold is the best answer.
Yeah, that's particularly true the further back in the mouth where it is not as visible and where you have the stronger forces of chewing applied. So the back molars particularly. Most dentists today, if they require crowns on their back teeth, they will use gold. It has the strength and durability that can last a lot longer.
I love what you just said. It's bringing me back because when I had my first gold filling or whatever, I mean my dentist, this was way back, said, you'll be really able to bite down hard on it. So it sounds like that's what you're saying. So there will be times where gold makes sense.
Yes. And one of the factors is that has affected gold, as you mentioned, the cost of gold and of the marketplace of gold. versus the new materials, which are milled and can be produced more rapidly, or for the dentist, they can mill it or fabricate it in their office as opposed to having a lab make it, and then there's a lab bill. But the part of the gold where it actually becomes more economic is if I have gold onlays in my mouth that are over 40 years old that were done in dental school and they're still functioning versus something.
I thought you just graduated about 15 years ago, you youthful person. Well, you went to dental school 40 years ago?
Jeez. Over 40 years ago.
Oh, my God. What about, I know I get this question from new moms and dads in terms of safety, health, you know, so gold, you know, amalgam fillings. Why don't you just talk generally about that?
Actually, that's a very good question, and I didn't have it on the list, but if someone has a dermatologic problem or if they have allergic responses to metal jewelry, usually the go-to jewelry then for them will be gold. So gold has this a very low rate of allergic reaction. In fact, in my experience clinically, I've never saw anyone that had an allergic reaction to gold. So you're using a metal that is safe in that regard. The crowns can be, or the onlays can be sterilized prior to placement in the mouth because it can withstand a higher temperature. I don't think that there's any downside to the use of gold as far as health risks to patients. In many ways, that's one of the things that makes it ideal to be used.
Great. So after commercial break, we'll segue into talking about amalgam versus composite fillings, and we'll start talking about what I term the invisible hand has come to dentistry, meaning things like, you know, Smile Direct, and because of access and price issues, some of the trends in the dental community. So welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with Dr. Andy McKibben on this June 15th and 16th. Again, big shout out Father's Day to all the fathers and dads out there, young and old, grandfathers. And for those of you that are doing the Mount Washington Road Race and you're listening to this on Sunday, June 16th, I congratulate you. Those of you who ran last week, either on the Saturday for the Over the River and the Through the Woods or Dogs on the Pavement on Sunday, I also congratulate you. And my special guest this weekend is Dr. Andy McKibben, and we're going to talk a little bit now about composite fillings and amalgam fillings and some other trends in the dental arena. But first, Andy, why don't you talk again about the Shaker 7 road race coming up on June 23rd.
I'd like to extend an invitation to anyone who would like to just have a fun run. Tom said there are some competitive entrants, but for the most part, it's a fun run around Mascoma Lake. It's going to be held on June 23rd. Registration starts at 7:30, and you can go online and to just type in Shaker 7. It'll give you the information.
So that's Shaker 7, June 23rd. And it's really a cool distance because if you're normally just do 5Ks, this is over double that. But so then if you're trying to, you know, train for a half marathon or what I used to use it for too was the Northeast Delta Dental Beach to Beacon Road Race in Maine in August is a 10K, which is 6.2 miles. I used to use the Shaker 7 run as kind of a training run, knowing that it was like one more mile. So it's a unique distance, and hope to see everybody there. The Upper Valley has a really, really robust running club, and I always see my friends, and it's pretty amazing. Generally, they're one of the top two running clubs, you know, in New Hampshire during the running season. But back to the subject at hand. So we kind of finished up on gold fillings, and so would you, Andy, spend a little bit of time, because I get this question a lot from moms on, first of all, with fluoridated water, you know, going to the dentist with our health or wellness program, you know, fluoride varnish, you know, kids, to the extent that the moms and the kids are taking care of their teeth, there are obviously fewer and fewer caries. I know my four children, they have no fillings, and, We didn't do anything special other than that they had access to fluoridated water. We made them brush and floss, and they went to the dentist regularly. So oral health, that's, I know it's frustrating, Andy, for you and me sometimes, because with fluoridated water and taking care of your teeth, a lot of the dental issues we see really are totally preventable. But tell us, when I'm asked about, you know, white fillings versus the silver amalgam, give us a little discourse on that.
Well, historically, the silver amalgams is a good material. In many ways, it's ideal. Its biggest downfall, in my point of view, is that it just is not attractive. There has been controversy about the fact that mercury is used in the compounding of the material, but the misnomer there is that it's not methylated mercury. It's not free or available to pollute the air. Although it's still controversial, very few dentists are doing amalgams anymore. However, in the public health center, use of amalgam still is more effective because the fillings will last longer than a composite filling or the tooth-colored fillings. So nowadays, I agree with you, so many children have beautiful teeth. They have no cavities. Very often they have had some orthodontics. I very often find myself being the person with the worst teeth in the room, or I certainly have more fillings and crowns. So it's kind of embarrassing. But
that's what I say to my kids. Yeah. Like, you know, like I have pretty good looking teeth. I take care of them, but it's definitely filled with, amalgam and a, you know, crown here or there. And that's the progression of dentists. That's another thing I say. If you don't get the cavity, the carie, then you're not going to have that progression from a one surface to a two surface filling to eventually a crown, and then God forbid a root canal and an implant. I mean, that's the progression. You talked about the public health setting. Would you talk a little bit about silver diamine fluoride and how the public health officials are using that?
Yeah, this is actually an exciting development that's just come forward in the last couple of years, that it's so effective at stopping decay. And it's relatively easy to apply. So in a public health setting, if you may be seeing a patient that's coming in one time, has a lot of decay, caries, and you really have a limited time to try to treat as many teeth as possible, you can address the decay in the teeth and a number of teeth relatively rapidly. And that puts them kind of into a hold pattern, until hopefully they return and they can come back and we can do a restoration that might be a little longer lasting.
So that SDF, the silver diamine fluoride, actually is now a benefit at Northeast Delta Dental, effective January 1 of this year. So the next three topics, we don't have that much time, but I want to talk about health rural wellness. That's a program we have. We use what's called provisor software. So depending on your score, when you get a cleaning, like my score is a 3, so I'm entitled to a third or fourth cleaning, a Del fluoride varnish. So basically, for the listening audience, even though going to the dentist, you know, twice a year has been is a good benchmark, and it probably began in the 50s when toothpaste companies said, you know, see your dentist twice a year. That then became a proxy for 2 cleanings, 2 visits a year, but it's really not based on science. And now with Previsor, which is what powers Health Rural Wellness, you now can get the enhanced benefits if you need it. You know, some of us, not everybody, but some of us do need, you know, the third or fourth cleaning. So that's kind of one trend, and it's something that if you're a Northeast Delta Dental subscriber, you have. The other one is Smile Direct has hit the news a lot. And basically, at this point, in terms of self-administered ortho, Northeast Delta Dental, you know, doesn't cover it, but to the extent that we're now getting a lot of questions, why don't you, Andy, describe how we got to this point? I'm sure a lot of it relates to, you know, if a normal case fee for ortho these days is $5,000, and if someone can get something for $1,500 and that belief and so forth. So tell us what the trend and what the Board of Examiners thinks about all this. To the extent you can say that.
We're just in a really interesting time. It's kind of a little bit parallel to teledentistry. There's new models and new venues and new ways to deliver care that haven't been available before. So the traditional having to go to the same office to see the same person may not be necessary for certain procedures. And in orthodontics particularly, there, in my opinion, there's been price creep in the cost of having complete orthodontics in an orthodontic office by an orthodontist, that it actually allowed for the marketplace. There's a space down below that where someone who's looking at it, if they can provide a service to provide the orthodontics for someone for less, and it's an easier on the patient to have it done, it could be the future. And I think that's what we're finding. And as far as the Board of Dental Examiner goes, we aren't, or the Board of Dental Examiners is not going to be regulating how something is done. We don't recommend techniques. We don't recommend materials. What we're interested in is that what is being done is done safely. So for the what's referred to as do-it-yourself orthodontics, we want to know that a dentist is involved in the treatment. We want to know that the patient has been diagnosed, that there is a provision of a general dentist involved in the event that there's other problems with the patient's teeth that aren't related to the orthodontics, and that it's being, you know, followed and maintained. So really the board's concern is the safety of the patient. The cost issue between the two, it really is not an issue that the board would get into. As long as the results are good and the patient's happy and safe, we would not criticize one method over the other.
And this is the evolution of what we've seen. And Andy mentioned teledentistry. So we have established teledentistry with a firm called Virtue Dent. And what we noticed in my involvement with the Boys and Girls Club, a lot of the children there hadn't really seen dentists, and the new American immigrants tended to hang out there without having a dental home. So they were, you know, kids like 8 years old that had never seen a dentist. So teledentistry, basically dentistry in a suitcase, you know, shows up at the Boys and Girls Clubs in Concord and Manchester and Nashua and some schools in southern New Hampshire and Spalding. And then the hygienist that's there cleans the teeth, and then we transmit x-rays back to a dentist who actually is on our board, Dr. Richard Bolduc. And at that point, based on that and the notes, we recommend sometimes that the child sees a dentist, you know, at Easter Seals Dental Center in Manchester, if they're in that location, and we, of course, sponsor them, or saving people's smiles here in Concord. So a lot of this, I think, is generated by access, wouldn't you say?
Yes. And I mean, it's very exciting in the cases that you were just mentioning, reaching a population that has been underserved, and the topic of access to care has been on a lot of people's minds, and it's a problem that we haven't solved yet. But this teledentistry, I think, is one of those things that's going to help with that issue. But I also think the potential of teledentistry is being able to go into the workplace. If having an employee know that they can have a cleaning and an exam done in the workplace, then they don't have to leave work. They don't have to take half a day off. They can maintain their prevention. And then if there's a problem, arrangements can be made with a dentist to take care of the problem. It's more efficient, and it makes a lot of sense.
Right. And we have had, and based on our experience with the underserved populations at the Boys and Girls Club, we actually have had 6 or 7 corporate clients that have asked that, and it's working well. And again, same situation, if the employee who hasn't been to the dentist in a long time that then does need to see a dentist for something more serious, the teledentistry folks are then referring that employee to someone in our participating network. So we're getting people to the dentist, because one of the things, so this may surprise the listening audience, but even when an employer is paying the dental premium completely, 20 to 40% of the employees of the employer don't go to the dentist for various reasons. And this may be one way of addressing it. Well, as always, Andy, you are delightful to chat with. I'm going to have you back on. Thanks for explaining that goal is still viable in certain situations. And thank you for being a wonderful member of the Delta Dental team. It's one of the reasons why I get up in the morning and have a hop in my step to go to work is because people like you. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom.